disturbing discovery at an abandoned mobile home park.
Another suicide.
The nation's suicide rate is at its highest point since 1986.
When police came to the house, they saw tons and tons of trash. Turns out the daughter is a hoarder.
Crews made the gruesome discovery today inside a home.
They had 70 cats and dogs, mostly dogs. They found one deceased kitten inside the home.
A woman was found dead in a local home. That house had been tented for fumigation work.
The following is a true story. Names and locations are kept anonymous in order to protect the privacy of those involved.
Stay tuned at the end of this episode for a special giveaway offer. I'm your host, Vanessa Fearson, and this is a true story. When I tell people what I do for a living, I have to tell them two times every time. It goes like this. So what do you do, Vanessa? Oh, I'm a crime scene cleaner. You're a what cleaner? Crime scene cleaning is a job most people don't even realize is a real thing. And I can understand it. Tragedies like homicide or suicide, let alone cleaning up after one, is not something anyone likes to think about. So when they find out it's my job to do just that, it takes a second or two for it to sink in. It's at this point I get the inevitable duo of questions. How did you get into doing that? And what's the worst thing you've cleaned up? The latter, I feel, is a bit of a subjective question. I mean, what makes it the worst cleanup? Is it the amount of blood? Is it the circumstances surrounding the incident? Or is it dealing with the grieving family? I will, in forthcoming episodes, be recounting stories that have some or all of these components. So I'll leave that question for you to answer. As to how I got started, well, let me tell you. In the early 2000s, I worked as a telecommunications manager for a small to mid-level telecommunications company. At the time, we serviced hotels on the Vegas Strip. After years of personally installing the system, the job became tech support for our clients. So I was only working 4 hours a day. And I made enough to pay my bills and fund my weekend skydiving habit. I was young and single. Nobody depended on me and I was going to live forever. Basically, life was good. One day, a friend of mine asked me for a favor. There was someone at the company she worked for that was leaving, and they needed a replacement. I thought that could be fun. They were fine with me working afternoons, and I would be able to work closely with a good friend. Plus, the extra money wouldn't hurt, so I took the job. I ended up really enjoying my position and the new company. It was a janitorial company, and I grew really close with all of the cleaning crews and the clients. I was responsible for over 300 accounts. I went around and did weekly inspections of the bigger accounts to ensure my crew were providing top-notch cleaning services for businesses, post-production houses, and even celebrities. I did estimates for new accounts, I handled all the cleaning crews, and over the course of the years, I established lifelong personal relationships with all of them and their families. All was going well until the owner became very ill and passed away. His wife, who had no prior involvement in the company, was then left to try to keep the company running smoothly. She was overwhelmed, devastated, and was struggling to keep things afloat. So she did what she thought was best and hired a personal friend of hers to come in and help take care of the finances. It quickly became apparent to me that there was a personality clash with this lady. I tried to just stick to my side of the small office, but she was a constant wrench in my gears and a thorn in my side. I reached out to the owner a few times for help, but to no avail. Despite the fact she was only in charge of the finances, this lady thought she was the boss, and she used her personal relationship with the owner as an excuse to belittle and berate everyone, not just me. My crews, coworkers, and clients alike would complain about her to me constantly. I tried to politely remind her that she was hired to do the finances only, and that I had been running my section of the company successfully for years, so I told her her interference was unnecessary. But remember, I only worked afternoons here, so she had all morning before I arrived to wreak havoc at my desk. I'm sure you can imagine that we butted heads on many occasions. It was one of these headbutting days that I found myself driving home in a fury. I couldn't continue at this job I loved with this woman I couldn't stand. I mean, I really loved the job, and I was really, really good at it. But one of us had to go. Since she wasn't going anywhere, I knew it would be me. So I decided to start my own janitorial company. I began plotting to start my own business and steal all of their clients. After all, the clients loved me, the crews loved me, and no one liked her at all. Yes, this would be my revenge. Then reality set in and I remembered, I'm not that type of person. Sure, I can be a little odd at times, but I'm not vengeful. However, it got me thinking, did I really want to work for someone the rest of my life? Despite my hard work and expert handling of my job, I was ignored by the owner and all my credit was stolen by you-know-who. I was no longer satisfied being a good employee, and I decided I needed to be a boss. As I was contemplating my next career move and wondering the direction it would go, the car in front of me slammed on their brakes and I heard the gut-wrenching squeal of a dog that had just been hit by a car. The car took off and I stopped to see if I could help. Unfortunately, the dog had been killed on impact and had no collar, so there was no way to contact the owner. As he lay there on the side of the road, his innards smeared on the pavement, a thought train was about to pull out of the station, and it would be that train that would eventually take me to Crime Scene Cleanerville. Someone came out of their house and asked if I was okay. I told them I was fine, but someone had just hit and killed this dog. Despite the darkness and the distance, I could tell her face went white and that she was the owner of this poor pup. As she ran to the road, she asked if he was okay. I didn't have time to answer before she saw for herself. I offered my condolences and she thanked me and asked if I had any description of the car. Unfortunately, I had been too lost in my thoughts to take notice of any details. I apologized and she thanked me, and then she asked me the one question that would change my life forever. How do I clean this up? I had no idea and suggested she called animal control. It was the first thing I could think of. She thanked me again and I got into my car and continued home. If you're enjoying this episode, I want to take a moment to tell you about Resonate Recordings. Resonate Recordings edited, mixed, mastered, and produced the episode you're currently listening to. They offer professional podcasting services to podcasters all over the world. Editing, mixing, mastering, custom production, sound design, music creation, hosting setup, and even RSS feed configuration are just a few of the services they offer. If you're considering starting a podcast or want to increase the quality of your podcast, go to resonaterecordings.com to see how they can save you time and help take your podcast to the next level. Resonate Recordings has a professional team of experienced audio engineers, producers, and musicians who all have a passion for podcasting. Right now, my listeners can go to resonaterecordings.com and get their first episode produced for free. No commitments, no strings attached. You too can have an expertly crafted podcast at no risk to you. So what are you waiting for? Go to resonaterecordings.com and complete the form at the bottom of the page. Just tell them Vanessa sent you. Now back to the show. How do I clean this up? Kept playing in my head. I had no idea, but I thought, if nobody does that job, I could. Eureka! That was it. I would clean up roadkill. I've got a strong stomach and I'd be my own boss. I would drive around and clean up roadkill. There was just one problem. Who is going to pay me for that? So I arrived at home and went straight to the computer and fired up the old dial-up internet. A very short search killed that idea. Animal control turned out to be the right call. In addition to capturing and housing loose animals, roadkill cleanup was in the job description. Well, that wasn't going to work. A government job was not the place to go to avoid working for someone else. Discouraged and afraid I would be doomed to be an employee forever, I kept going back to the question I had been asked earlier. How do I clean this up? I immediately flashed back to something that had occurred when I was a teenager. One day, I was across a busy intersection waiting for my light to turn green, which was apparently never going to happen. As I was standing there incessantly pressing the crosswalk button, I saw something that nobody should ever see. I saw a body fall to the pavement from the roof of a hotel. I'm not sure if I was in shock or what, but it didn't freak me out. It hardly seemed to even register in mind what had just happened. I was more annoyed about the light taking forever to change. By the time my light finally turned and I got across to the other side, hotel staff had swarmed the area. I could hear sirens in the distance and I was just able to see the point of impact. I was amazed at all the blood and how far it had spread. Although blood was everywhere, there was only one area where it had pooled, and that was the spot where his body lay. The staff tried to usher me away, but I told them I witnessed it, as if that gave me a right to stay. I kept looking in awe and amazement at how bright and how much blood there actually was. I gave my statement to the police as the EMTs draped the body with a sheet. They were trying to be mindful of where they were stepping, and that stood out to me. It had played in my head over and over and still had not evoked any reaction. I then continued on my way as if nothing had happened. It's really interesting to recount this event. I've thought about it now and again, but for some reason I wasn't traumatized at all. I'm still not. I can replay it clear as day and it's awful, but it didn't affect me the way you might expect. It might sound heartless, but I was a strange kid. I was never emotional. In fact, you could say I lacked all emotion. It wasn't that I was depressed or anything. I was often happy. You just couldn't tell from my face. It wasn't until my 20s that I actually realized that I didn't smile much, if ever. It was this realization that allowed me to try to analyze myself, and I've come to the conclusion that I was just a serious kid. I am much more animated nowadays, and maybe it was because I had kids or married a great guy, but my face and feelings have finally synced up. Anyway, in recounting this incident, the question that kept playing in my head, how do I clean this up, quickly went to, who cleans up when a person dies? I could do that. I immediately answered my own question like most people do. The police do it, or do they? I tried to remember the police cleaning up the scene I had witnessed as a kid, but I hadn't stuck around long enough to see that part of it. I was back to being discouraged, thinking I had to join the police force and go through months and months of training and get a degree, and, well, it was all too much. But I checked anyway, and I soon stumbled across the crime scene cleaning industry. It wasn't police. It wasn't even paid for by a government agency. It was up to the family or property owner to clean it up. Yes, I could do that. That was it. I loved both of my jobs, but I felt like the age-old question of, what do you want to be when you grow up, had finally been answered. After a little bit more research, I found an out-of-state company that would provide the training. I bought my seat in the class and booked my flight right then and there. The next day, I turned in my notice at the janitorial company, and I requested a vacation for my other job. Within the week, I boarded a plane to what I thought would be the last stop on my journey to personal success. After my training, I got home and I was on cloud nine. I resumed my telecommunications job, but I was always trying to figure out how to get started cleaning up crime scenes and other bodily messes that nobody wanted to do. I was determined to be a business owner, and not only that, it was going to be a business that I loved. As the months went by, it slowly dawned on me, this wasn't going to happen. Was I really going to leave a nice, cushy job that required very little of me and gave me sufficient money to live the life I wanted to live in order to start a business from square zero? The unfortunate but simple answer was obvious. No. No, I wasn't. I felt like my life goal had just been smashed into pieces. However, I was free of that awful lady, and so not all was completely lost. It was a fun trip, but it had come to an end. I chalked it up to an experience and a good idea. But I would just go back to the way things had been. Thank you for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Today's episode was produced by Resonate Recordings. I'd like to announce two t-shirt winners. The first winner is from our newsletter drawing, and that lucky winner is Julia Jones from BeautifulMadnessBooks.com. And the Facebook t-shirt giveaway winner is Jen Wagner. Please email info@thecleaningofjohndoe.com with your mailing address and t-shirt size. Be sure to subscribe and review us on iTunes. It really helps. I can't express my gratitude enough for all the love and support we've been receiving so far. You guys are all awesome. If you truly enjoy what you're hearing, help spread the word to your friends, family, and coworkers. As a thank you to our listeners, we'll be giving away 8 $25 Amazon gift cards just in time for the holidays. For more information, head over to the Cleaning of John Doe's Facebook page and get in on our giveaways. Gift card winners will be announced on our Tuesday, December 5th episode, so stay tuned. Thanks again for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Please tune in next week for part 2.